My guest today is Mads Christensen. Mads, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing great. What do you do?
I'm a program manager on the Visual Studio web team.
Uh-huh.
So we build all the tooling that goes into Visual Studio for web developers. So all the HTML, CSS, some of the JavaScript, and all the ASP.NET tooling, like the Razor code editors and all that. That's part of what my team is doing.
That's a lot of stuff.
Yes. I think we have with Visual Studio 2015 RC, which was just released last week. We now have eight different languages that we support, and that's my team alone.
Nice.
Yes, so like a lot of languages, a lot of editors, a lot of things to manage. And I think that's by far the largest number of different editors owned by any team. So that's a lot of stuff to manage. So that's good fun.
We should talk about that another time, because right now I want to talk about Web Essentials, because you're kind of famous for this.
Well, yeah.
I know it's not just you. Other people contributed to it, but you're kind of the face of Web Essentials. Is that fair to say?
Yes. Web Essentials is this free extension for Visual Studio that a lot of people use. It's for web development and only web development. There are some things that are general, but the idea is that it is very much for web development only. And so if you ever do anything that has to do with web, Web Essentials will add value to you probably. You'll have some benefit of installing
it. These are add-ins for Visual Studio, is that right?
It's an extension that works on the free versions of Visual Studio, like the new community that's both out for...
I love that free version now supports plugins.
Exactly. So for the community edition for 2013 and for community on 2015, so for free, entire Visual Studio plus Web Essentials is a really, really strong set of tools for building anything web-related.
Give me some examples of some of the cool stuff that's in Web Essentials.
There's a lot of stuff. So it's almost like, where to begin? So the reason I was mentioning all the editors before is because it actually relates very much to what Web Essentials does. Because my team, we've been really good at adding extensibility to everything we did with CSS, HTML, JSON, and all these editors that we have. And Web Essentials take advantage of those extensibility points to enhance the features of these different editors. So if we take something like CSS, you're going to get a lot of added value.
Okay.
So one of the things that I, when I go to like shows like this and I have a speaking session.
Yeah, we're at Ignite right now.
We're at Ignite, yeah. Is that I ask people, you know, how many people here love CSS? Absolutely love to write CSS.
How many hands typically? And not very many.
We're like 1%, right? Something like that. It's always like a handful of people. Even in a big room with 500 people, there's like three hands go up, right? So...
Two of them misunderstood the question.
Yeah, exactly. So that's kind of not what a lot of people like to do. It's not the most easy thing to understand and learn, and it causes a lot of frustration. So what Web Essentials does specifically for CSS is to make it a lot easier and more fun and more productive to work with CSS. And so one of the things that's really difficult is when you write CSS, you don't have a compiler, right? Like in C#, you can compile your code. If it compiles, it probably runs, right? Hopefully it runs.
But that's one good test, though.
Compiler as the first unit test, right? You at least get that.
Right.
But with CSS, you don't. So people write CSS, and it works great in IE, but it completely doesn't work at all in the other browsers.
Right.
So there's no guarantee that what you write actually works.
Right.
And only through trial and error and long nights of banging your head against the wall, you're getting it to work. And it's really frustrating. So some of the things that Web Essentials does is it tells you like on each of the different properties like what browser supports what, and so you can more easily figure out like, okay, I'm now using something that only works in Chrome or only works in IE 11, for instance,
right?
And to help you avoid some of these things, it has a lot of convenience things like if you're working with colors, it shows you what the color is. Like we're talking about a lot of small things, a lot of details. But they're so important, those details, especially when there's a lot of them, which Web Essentials does.
I don't have all the hex values for colors memorized.
Exactly, right. So even though that Web Essentials or Visual Studio on its own is not bad at all for CSS, on the contrary, but there's just a lot of little nice-to-haves. And Web Essentials packs like 100 of those. And so when you have all of them, it feels like a completely new experience. So for CSS, that's one thing, because that's a huge pain point. But we see the same in HTML. They'd add stuff to JavaScript, and those are the editors, right? It really boosts sort of the productivity of the various languages, even languages that we don't consider maybe a language. So we have syntax highlighting for a gitignore file.
Oh, really?
But that's in Web Essentials. Oh. For robots.txt, it provides you IntelliSense, because who remembers how to write a robots.txt?
Right.
We do it so rarely that we have to go find online what the syntax is and all that sort of stuff, and now you get IntelliSense for that. Small things like that. Or or syntax highlighting for the app cache manifest for offline support, HTML5 support.
I see.
Something you don't do very often, so it's really nice that you get that extra help whenever you have to do it. So it adds a lot of new editors as well, right, for these type of languages. But then it does something else. So it adds sort of a layer on top that's more like general workflow helpers. So let me give you an example. Let's say that you have a website and you're dealing with images, and let's say you have a folder somewhere with some images and you want to, you know, put that into your HTML page, you know, have an image tag.
Okay.
Like normally what you would do is that you would take that image, right? You would copy it. Maybe that image actually is on a web page you just found. You want to right click it, say copy. You know, then you open paint.net or Photoshop, put it in there, you know, you save it into your project, then you go back to Visual Studio and you add an image tag that references that file.
Okay. Like, so I'm slow switching several applications there, a lot of context switching.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of context switching and a lot of like, why doesn't the tooling just help us with that? So what Web Essentials does, if you copy a, like right click in IE or Chrome or whatever, you right click on an image and you say copy, you can just go into the HTML editor and say paste. And it will then prompt you to say, okay, where in your project do you want to save this file?
Oh, wow.
And you just select where you want it and what you want to call that file. And it creates the image tag for you.
Oh, I see.
Stuff like that. Like
very
that
nice.
They're not specific to HTML, right? You can do the same in CSS. It will add a background image property in CSS. In Markdown, it will add the correct Markdown syntax for that.
It's smart copy-paste. Like we have in Office. It just knows, okay, this is a CSS. It's, you're going to want a background image. This is a HTML. I want an IMG tag.
Exactly. So that's sort of one of those workflows where it's just like it's been annoying forever, and we didn't really notice. And for people watching this, you might not have noticed that this is something that is annoying, but now you do, right?
You're creating a demand, and then you're filling it.
But it's kind of funny. Like, there's a lot of things where we as developers have grown accustomed to going through things that are annoying or that are not optimal, like workflows.
Yeah.
And so a lot of the stuff that I do in my current job is to identify what are the workflows that we could do better with, and this is one of them. And so, as with Web Essentials, is sort of the playground.
Is the browser link, is that part of Web Essentials?
Browser link is built into Visual Studio.
Oh, that is? Okay.
Web Essentials take advantage of that because it has full extensibility. So Web Essentials expands the functionality of browser link to do other things.
All right. Yeah. I have trouble determining what's part of Web Essentials, what's part of Visual Studio. Uh-huh. Once it's in there, it just all becomes integrated together.
Yeah. So that's because Web Essentials is our playground. So a lot of features start in Web Essentials. So when I have an idea, I will test it out in Web Essentials and iterate on it and get feedback from the community, and maybe someone sends a pull request to tweak it a little bit.
Okay.
And you know, we iterate over it and have real live feedback, and sometimes it can take a year or even more for that feature to be like baked and say, well, now the user experience is perfect. Let's move it into Visual Studio.
I see.
So we use it as a proofing ground and a playground. Some features that goes into Web Essentials never make it into full VS because it either doesn't solve the problem that we thought it might do, or it did it in a way that's not intuitive. And so we keep baking it. We keep iterating on it. And at some day, we might bring it in. But the idea is that we always bring it in. And so my idea with Web Essentials is that it exists to eliminate itself, right? When Web Essentials is the most perfect it can be, it no longer exists, because it means that everything is now in Visual Studio.
I see.
Right? Everything that exists. But I don't think we're ever going to get there, because speed of thought is faster than like setting everything up in the backlog and, you know, getting developers to...
Sure. And then the just state of the art of the browser changes. The operating system changes. You know, who would have expected like GPU acceleration to be part of the browser 5 years ago? This is... expectations are just a lot higher for...
Yes.
Web apps.
Exactly.
You're actually moving a lot faster than the Visual Studio team in Web Essentials. You've got
I can move
a lot
faster
more agility
there.
Than that. What's going on right now? You have some cool things that just came out or are about to come out?
So I've been releasing Web Essentials for Visual Studio 2013 ever since the preview came out back in, was it October? And I've been keeping up with the different CTPs. So Web Essentials is
2015
perhaps,
you're talking about, right?
Yeah, 2015.
Okay.
So Web Essentials is probably the only extension that is locked down specifically to a single version of Visual Studio at a time.
Oh.
So that means that when I create a version of Web Essentials that works with CTP 6, that came out in, was it January or February? You can only install it on CTP 6. It will not install on any newer version or older version than that.
Interesting.
Yeah. And
so if I upgrade my version of Visual Studio, then I lose all my Web Essential function.
So what happened? Yeah, so what happens is that let's say you have CTP 6, which was the last release we did before the release candidate came out. Mm. If you had that and you had Web Essentials, and now you upgrade Visual Studio to the RC version, Visual Studio will disable Web Essentials.
I see.
But it will tell you, hey, you know, it's disabled. Do you want to upgrade it or update? And you should click yes, and it will update, get the latest version that works with that particular version. And so that, so Visual Studio has a built-in mechanism where we can say there, we know that there are certain extensions that only live with one specific version of VS, and so there's a mechanism in place that takes care of that. So that's the cause of a little bit of confusion, but we have to do it that way because Web Essentials, because it's a playground and we just experiment with stuff, we have to use unsupported APIs.
Right.
Because it takes a while for an API in Visual Studio to kind of mature and be versioned and supported. It doesn't happen on day one.
Certainly during the CTP phase, that changes a lot. There's a lot of those.
Yeah, but you can take like this for the CSS editor, just an example. There, since Visual Studio 2012, there's been a rich API, but it is unsupported. Now, what that means is that it's subject to change.
Right.
If you use it, you know, just be careful because the next update to Visual Studio, like Visual Studio Update 1 or 2, could break it, where the versioned and fully supported APIs are not. So that's why we have to lock Web Essentials down to that specific version. So for this time, so what I'm talking about here at Ignite is some of the new features that Visual Studio have for building modern web applications, and that includes like using some of the new package managers that are out there that sort of the rest of the world has adopted for a long time, which is Bower and NPM, the Node Package Manager, and also using some of the node-based tools to integrate into the Visual Studio tool chain to help us do client-side run client-side tasks such as bundling and minification of JavaScript files, compiling less in SAS and CoffeeScript or TypeScript.
Yep.
And those tools are, you know, there are two that we support out of the box, Gulp and Grunt. And they do a lot of the stuff that we relied on Web Essentials to do before, Web Essentials for Visual Studio 2013. And so those things have now been removed from the new version of Web Essentials. So Web Essentials no longer compile your less and CoffeeScript anymore.
Okay.
Because we ran the experiment for a couple of years, and there's no way we can do that in sort of the simplistic way that Web Essentials does it. It does a sort of like right-click the file and say compile, something like that. We need something that's way more granular and you know, way more powerful.
And that problem's been solved by a third-party tool.
That problem has been solved by what's now in Visual Studio. We learned from what Web Essentials did, and so that's the way forward now. And so there are changes, like rather large changes, which is really good. So Web Essentials went from being 18 megabytes, and now it's down to like 14.
That's good news.
1.4 megabytes, right?
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, it went on a diet.
By an order of magnitude.
Yeah. So so huge changes, and we've also been rolling in a lot of features. So we've been a little bit more aggressive this time around in rolling features in or graduating features from Web Essentials into the Visual Studio product itself. So that's really, really great. That's the whole idea of Web Essentials, is that we mature and graduate the features in. So that's really great. So that means that the code base is now slimmer and smaller, easier to understand, much easier for people to contribute to. So we have to remember that Web Essentials is built by the community, for the community, and it's owned by the community. It is not a Microsoft thing.
Right.
That's super important.
Yep.
So
open source.
It's open source, and a lot of people send pull requests, right? And the whole idea is that if you have an idea, pitch it on the Web Essentials issue list, like let's have a conversation about it, and let's implement it. Let's try it out. That's the whole point. And so what's really good about that it's been on a diet now, and it's like a leaner code base, is that it's now easier, because it's easier for everyone to understand the code and, you know, contribute to it. So I imagine that we'll have a lot more pull requests and a lot more community activity around the code base now in the new version.
Okay. So is there a landing page where people can, A, contribute to this open source project, and B, download it and get it into their development environment?
Yeah. So, I mean, everything Web Essentials. If you go to the website, theswebessentials.com, that's where it has links to download, has links to how to contribute. It will give you like a list of all the features. The feature list I haven't updated for 2015 yet. Some people have contributed, so some of it is actually there, but it is in no way complete yet. So that's actually one place that people can contribute is if they don't want to.
What's been done?
Yeah, if they don't want to go into the, learning some of the extensibility stuff in Visual Studio, they can help out with the website itself. And so a lot of people do that, and that's a great way to contribute because everyone wins from that. And there's this. So this is now the fourth version of Web Essentials. There was one for 2010, 2012, 2013, and now the latest 2015. So it's all listed on that vswebessentials.com.
Is that the best place to go to learn about Web Essentials, or are there other resources?
Yes. That's anything Web Essentials, go there first.
Vswebessentials.com. All right. Put a link to it.
Yep.
Anything else we should cover that we haven't about Web Essentials? I know it's a big product.
It's a great product. Well, so Web Essentials is one. There is something.
All right.
So it's not necessarily Web Essentials, but it's very related. So one of the things that Web Essentials used to do was that it would integrate with other third-party web services and bring those into Visual Studio. So specifically for JSON was a website called schemastore.org, which has like what's called JSON schema. So think about that as XML schema files, like XSD.
All right.
So Visual Studio now have support for that. That means that you get IntelliSense and validation for your JSON files, which is really cool. And so all these common formats like bower.json, package.json, and now with ASP.NET 5, project.json, you get full IntelliSense for all of that because schemastore.org have all those schemas available.
Very cool.
So you as an end user don't have to go into, you know, and download those schema files and do anything. Web Essentials does automatically light it up. Now, in 2015, we have built that in to Visual Studio. So Web Essentials no longer connect to those third-party services. But what we did do was that on Schema Store, we now have support for JavaScript. So you can actually write JavaScript that augments the JavaScript IntelliSense experience in Visual Studio.
Okay.
And Web Essentials now uses schemastore.org to move JavaScript files in to light up stuff like Grunt and Gulp file, React.js, Breeze.js, and jQuery,
Angular. So this is really for these frameworks, though, that have...
But what's really cool is that that's all open source. So in order for you to contribute, again, if you don't want to deal with Visual Studio extensibility APIs and, you know, help with Web Essentials that way, if you can write JSON or you can write JavaScript, you can contribute to schemastore.org, or either Visual Studio or Web Essentials will augment the experience for anyone that has Web Essentials or Visual Studio installed on their box. So that's another great way to not contribute to Web Essentials, but contribute anyway.
Excellent. Mads, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me. To all of my friends who contribute to Web Essentials or any other open source technology, have a good day.